the Flying Solo Podcast. I am your host, Katie Kangas, and each week on the show, we will talk about how to take flight and follow your dreams as a solopreneur architect. In this episode, I talk with Marcy Conrad Nutt about her practice to standardize high-performance design as outlined by Passive House and all the niche aspects of building better. Better homes are improving energy efficiency in a way that improves people's lives and really makes an impact on how they live. Marcy is based in Minnesota, and her whole practice is here. She integrates herself with the architectural community, contractors, and a homeowner network that keeps her grounded in this region and this region's needs, just like a chickadee. In Minnesota, we have chickadees living here year-round. They do things that allow them to weather through the coldest winters. And that's the kind of architecture Marcy is building. Architecture that can withstand the harsh winter climate that we have up north, while maintaining a quality living environment for people in these homes and retrofitted businesses. Welcome, Marcy, to the Flying Solo Podcast. It's good to have you today. And we just met last week, so this is really fun to catch your eye and get you on this conversation.
Yeah, thank you. It was great to meet you.
So, Marcy, you have your own architecture firm here in Minnesota. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself and starting your own practice?
Sure, yeah. Well, my name is Marcy Conrad Nutt, and I just started my architecture firm called Yarrow Architecture in September. So I'm still pretty young, pretty new as a business owner. I basically am an architecture firm and also a Passive House consulting studio. I'm a certified Passive House designer as well. So I wanted to start a practice that where we would use Passive House, the Passive House method and energy modeling on every single project. And every single project, we're using those criterion values and really leaning into low carbon building.
That's wonderful. And I'm curious, Yarrow, as in Yarrow root?
Yeah, I was looking for a prairie plant actually, that would I guess have the qualities that I feel is important in architecture, and also that Passive House provides, and just the kind of architecture I want to produce. So, Yarrow is very resilient. It's drought tolerant. It's very versatile, used for centuries for various different functions, and it's also beautiful. And I think especially in a changing climate with extreme weather, we need to have really resilient buildings. We need to build better. Of course, wildfire and floods, termites. There's all sorts of things that we're going to be facing, and we need to have better buildings that can face those challenges, and we can also do those in a lovely way. So that's why Yarrow.
I feel a kindred to that. My firm is called PASC Architecture after the state flower of my home state, but it's a wild tundra flower that only grows and blossoms in the early spring. But those gentle, soft petals, same thing. It's got to be resilient, and it belongs to the place where it grows. So much resonance.
Oh, that's
I
lovely.
Love it. And it really places us as architects, and that we can know our climate, we can know our environment, and be able to serve people. It's not just a one-and-done sort of process. Every site, every location, we as architects can be helping those buildings belong to that site.
Yes, definitely. I've always really been interested in just, critical regionalism, I guess, from back in the 90s, right? And vernacular architecture and being really respectful of the site when we're building, and all of those things come into play. So, yeah.
It reminds me of your namesake, the Yarrow root, that it's grounded in that site, and it's a rich uniqueness in how you're placed on that site. I like that.
Thank you.
Very cool. Hey, so even in your first few months with your new practice, what are three words that you think describe your firm?
I think responsive would be one of them, and that has lots of different meanings, really responsive to the site, as we're talking about, in the climate, but also to the clients. I really value having good client relationships and fostering those connections and really active listening at the very beginning to understand what the problem is before I just, you know, barge in there and tell somebody how the design should be. I want to listen to what the problems are first. And I think that's super important. Another word would be imaginative. Just, you know, that's part of our jobs as architects, right? As we hear all of these problems or challenges and hopes and dreams, and then we need to take all of those and create something from that and be creative in that process. And then transformative. Really, with Yara, one of my other missions is not just the architecture I produce, but really working hard to transform the industry so that passive house type building is mainstream practice. And that is my hope by the time I retire, that we can have this kind of building is just, it's mainstream. We've got a whole bunch of architecture firms designing to it and contractors that are comfortable with it. And, you know, we're building the way that we need to build in the next generation.
That's an awesome legacy and a great goal to have. I love to hear that. So as you're approaching this passive house focus, what clients are you seeking and what projects are on your plate now?
So I have two different approaches. So the first approach is just any client that's interested, and really at this point it's going to be more small scale because I am solo at this moment. When I'm a little later on, I'd like to take on larger work, but you know, residential, small commercial, if you're really looking for deep energy retrofits, if you're, you know, serious about how to do that, I want to provide a roadmap, help you with a roadmap to get there and really talk about, you know, is there a way to phase those? Can we do it all at once? What does that look like? New construction, of course, for anything like that. I have a 25-year background in doing everything from single family, multifamily, cultural institutions, retail. So I have a variety of different things. And then the other side is I've been talking with a lot of architecture firms, especially small or small, medium-sized firms that want to do better. They want to sign up for the AIA 2030 Challenge. They aren't large enough to have a sustainability director. And they really, you know, could appreciate having somebody come in and just give them a couple of pointers, some sources, help them along, and help them just get better with their sustainability detailing.
That's great. And so I already have your bird. I have a bird thought for you, specifically for the first client you described. It reminds me a lot of a chickadee because you're taking on little projects, and chickadees are very interesting. They don't actually, we see them all winter. They are able to weather it out even through the tough climate changes, which is appealing with your practice and being sited in one's place and being adaptable to that. One thing is that a chickadee will actually store acorns in certain caches. And those little acorns are like those little projects that you take on early on in your practice and just taking on. And they're like little nuts, little seeds, and they may lead to more later on. But it's helpful to start to gather those and get those under your belt as you're starting to establish yourself and establish your expertise. Side bird
knowledge is that a chickadee actually has an amazing GPS system in their brain, and they can remember all these different caches and all these different places that they've placed their acorns so that they can access them throughout the winter, and their project supply, in our analogy, never goes dry. So I find that...
Oh, I hope that's true.
I hope so too. But it gives legitimacy to, as you're just starting off, taking on these little things, because you're building those relationships and you're just starting out to establish yourself on your own in this space. It's interesting because the analogy doesn't carry for serving other architecture firms. To be a flying solo and serving others is almost a different relationship. It's more of a symbiotic relationship. And I lack the exact bird analogy, apart from the oxpecker, which you heard in the presentation last week. An oxpecker is a bird that is on the back of a rhino or a giraffe or a deer in Africa, and it will take the little problems of that bigger firm, and it specializes in solving the problems of that one big firm. And so I've heard of some solo practitioners starting off because they have one big client. They have one that with lots of problems. And then you start to specialize in all these different ways that you can solve their different problems. And it's a different type of, it'd be like consulting with an architecture firm. And maybe sometimes they need sustainability consults. And other times they need passive house detailing or passive house modeling. Those are all those different bugs on their back. And being a specialist for another firm, you are able to adapt yourself and pick those off, and those you're solving lots of little problems for them. But your food source, your project source, is still just that one big client. And so it's interesting because it's two different marketing strategies. And I don't know, do you feel that there's two different marketing hats for what you're trying to do with your firm?
I think there is, and just the networking reach out, of course, is different with architecture firms, where, you know, that's conferences or reaching out to past colleagues that I've worked with. And then mm-hmm. that's probably more of like the LinkedIn. Also, the other side is going to be more Instagram, website, and also being involved in Passive House Minnesota and Passive House Network, just the nonprofit Passive House education outreach arms that I've been part of now for about 7 years or so. That kind of connects with both, really, because we'll have mm-hmm. happy hours and meetings that are really diverse in people's background. You actually don't have as many architects as you might think. It's a lot more potential homeowners or people working on a project, or maybe a real estate agent shows up, and it's a big mix of a whole bunch of people. So I think the networking part, it ends up overlapping, but yeah, probably is.
It seems like a rich network, especially when you can get in places where architects should be but aren't yet. And having these conversations with people who are just super passionate. I have been practicing architecture and doing all the things. I haven't had as much time to do the research recently. So how do you balance staying up to date with all the research and staying conversational about the latest topics when you may have clients who are right there with you on the edge of it?
Yeah. You know, that was actually one of the things that I noticed I really liked. I'd say that's part of me starting my own firm, really, because I've been doing that deep dive now for many years. And whenever I could pick away time at my jobs to do research, you know, or like improve our specs, or any, you know, I'll listen to podcasts when I'm in the car that are on energy, or, you know, so I get kind of nerdy about that stuff. But yeah, there's certain deep dives that clients will make that I definitely have to, I'll just make a note and then I'll go research it, because you can't know everything, even if you're doing deep dives for years and years, right? I think that's, you know, it's one of those things that we all learn after we've been in this business for a long time, is that you never know everything, right? You never do. So it's just getting that network of people who can help you out when you get to a point where you have no clue, and just being honest about it. You know, it's like, hey, I know basically what you're talking about, but I would bring in this person, or I would do this to help out with that particular niche passion of yours, right? So, yeah, I think that's one thing that's important about, especially when you're starting off on your own and being a solo practitioner, is really thinking about that network that can help support you, because it can feel like you're by yourself, but you don't have to be by yourself. You can, you know, pay attention who can maybe collaborate with you or can help you out on certain things or can be a mentor on whatever you're facing.
Well, and as a chickadee, you want to be in everyone's backyard, because that legacy, that dream of having this on every project, it should just be ubiquitous in practice to have these conversations. And that could be a really exciting place to start reshaping conversations professionally, to say we need to be looking to each other, even, or don't be afraid to reach out, because you've done this research. It is well worth it to just give that light call and bring it in to a project that they're working on. I keep seeing the firms that are specializing in this, they feel like a heavy lift. What I mean by that is that they seem like when they get involved with a project, it is a big portion of the project that they do. To be able to do energy modeling, they'll also do all these pieces. And so it feels like a more committed partnership than just a call to a consultant. And so I'm curious if you have thought through that, how much would you want to be involved with projects? Do you have any thoughts on how you're going to navigate some of that?
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And I feel like that's why I have the two separate arms, really, that when I want on my projects, I will be doing that deep dive on everything. For me, partnering with other firms is more about showing what's possible, listening to what they need, and kind of getting them on their way, and maybe even training in somebody that's on staff. But I don't want to stay in another architecture firm for, you know, 20 hours a week or, you know, for an extended period of time. You know, I'm not looking for an employee relationship or to be necessarily that consultant on a project. Maybe I can help refer them to other passive house consultants, because there's only so much bandwidth that you have. I think I'll have to kind of feel that out. You know, if there's a, it's one thing to help people out with standard details and just to new products and new techniques and helping them with the AI 2030 reporting and, you know, getting people comfortable with that. And it's another thing to really detail an energy model, an entire building, which I think there would be a bit of a line there where maybe I could come in here and there. It makes me think a little bit about, if anybody knows Jim Larson in our Minnesota, you know, like, you know, I loved having Jim Larson come into the firms. He would come in there, like he came into lots of other different firms and would help out here and there with a project and, you know, have a beer with us and then head on out.
Yeah, so, helping in the sticky situations.
And the sticky situations, yes. Yeah.
I love that you were able to communicate that, that difference between being hired for a project versus being there as a specialist. And it's almost like that specialist role comes out of your passion for this topic, your experience and the research, and just out of a genuine heart to, like, let's just make this standard, and sharing that knowledge and trying to find avenues to be available to other practitioners and other architects to be able to spread that knowledge in however you can find ways to help them. And it seems like a good way to balance it with your own practice. It'll be fun to see how you're finding the architecture clients, to be able to collaborate with them and be like that backer in the sticky. I liked the sticky situations, like the person you bring in when hope is lost. Marcy, how do you hope to find and identify clients who are going to align with your mission? Because you've got this great purpose with your business to advance Passive House and improve all architecture projects. How are you going to find those projects to be able to further them and achieve the client's dreams?
Yeah, I think that's the part of where right now I'm establishing my name and my business, right? So just getting the word out that this is the kind of work that I do in many different ways. So whether it's I did a video interview with Passive House Network last week, which is really great. They're a super supportive organization, and I'm on the directory there. There aren't that many Passive House designers even in this region, so that's one way if people are looking for that. And then I'm also just getting involved locally in organizations where I might connect with people, connect with contractors. I think a lot of work comes through contractors, right? So just, it's a lot of networking right now, really. That's a lot of what I'm doing. I went to something earlier today, actually, before I came in here. It was a sustainability development group. And, you know, I'm just finding all sorts of organizations where I can get out there and meet people, and just all those different vehicles. And I think the retrofit portion, of course, I would love to do new construction too, but I have heard over the years, over and over again, so many people want to retrofit their home. And they really want to do a deep energy retrofit, but they don't know how to do it, or they think that it's not possible. And Passive House, if you think about Passive House, I'm an international Passive House certified designer. And so the standard comes out of Germany. That's where it was formed, 30 years ago. And if you think about doing Passive House in Europe, you're not doing new construction everywhere, right? So they're highly invested in retrofit, and there's a retrofit standard. You can even do a certified phased retrofit. So I'm really excited to work with people on that front and see what we can do, because that's it. I think just a huge unmet need.
It really is unmet, and it's hard to show. Architects, we love to put project photos on websites, but when your project was insulating walls or improving the energy efficiency or fixing a vapor retarder layer or the air balance of a building, how do you share that story with people? Because photos almost aren't enough.
Yeah, this is great, because I think this is why a lot of architects honestly they're hard, they're challenging projects for one. The other part is they might be a little bit less glamorous, and so we do have to set our egos aside too and really listen to what are the problems and how do we fix the problems and where are those opportunities to make something still impactful and a lot better than it was. And it doesn't have to be, on the cover of Dwell. If it ends up being on the cover of Dwell or somewhere else, great. I would love that. But, I think there's certain qualities. Of course, you could look at energy bills when you're done. There's satisfied clients who can sit next to a window in winter and not be freezing. They're not paying for a person to come over and spray their house for bugs because now it's an airtight home. They're not having the moisture and mildew smells in their home. because you've taken care of the moisture issues. There's lots of those kind of benefits as well that are just kind of client testimonials and just really helps with well-being. You know, there's a fresh air ventilation is one of the five components of passive house, right? So you feel more awake because you're not having less healthy air in your home or as much pollution. When there's wildfire smoke in the air, you're filtering that, so you're not getting a headache during that time. So there's all these qualities, you know, that you don't have in standard construction. So it's really creating that paradigm shift of why aren't we asking for these things? Why are we settling for buildings that aren't responding to these basic comfort, human well-being needs that we should expect out of our buildings? And then how do we celebrate that as well as the pretty picture?
I love it. And there's just tons of Instagram content writing itself in my brain as I listen to you, like wanting to see videos of client testimonials or having you, the architect, be there and talk and just give a quick talk about, well, this is daylighting. This is the effect of daylighting. This is the effect of natural ventilation, and being able to show it in video as you're describing it, to be able to share that story and make people experience it more. Then I'd almost, this is the architect to me, I'd nerd out to see you draw those section details of how you're retrofitting the insulation layers in there. Like, you can't see it with photos. Can you draw it? What can you show us and tell us about that? And I just can't wait to see more as you continue to grow that and share what you're learning and what you're doing to improve people's lives. I love it.
Thank you. I'm excited to do the work.
Well, so that's a great point. What's the big change in working for others and now going out on your own? How are you going to design this firm to reflect your own strengths, your own hopes, and your own dreams?
Yeah, you know, I'm just really excited to have those direct relationships with clients and to, you know, there's already a lot of... there can be resistance to certain aspects of what I want to do already, right? You know, I'm asking for more insulation, and you have to find a contractor that's maybe comfortable with doing something different than they used to do, right? So the nice thing about having my own firm is that I'm leading that from the architecture side, and then I'm working, continually working and networking to find those collaborators, and I have some of them now too, of course. So collaborating with people who are on the same page and have those same values already, so that you're just dealing maybe with some education in the field and trying to knock down some of those barriers and working hard to find those people that have the same values because they're out there, right? So instead of being at a place where the projects are coming to me, they might have completely different goals. They might not care about what I'm talking about that much at all, or I'm having to work to convince people within the firm to do more of this kind of work. I'm just taking that effort and I'm moving it a step forward by having my own firm.
You have the freedom to go upstream with the conversations. Yes. And talk about things earlier and more often. And it becomes a value add instead of a burden in the project that gets value engineered out. I love that. You've got me curious. How do contractors learn to do passive house? Is that a place that you can be a disruptor and go in and help build network, but also build connections and share that education so that we have more options with contractors and builders who can do the work?
I'm so glad you asked this question. So with Passive House Minnesota, I have so many hats now. So this is my nonprofit hat, I guess. So with Passive House Minnesota, Passive House Network, We've partnered with Emu Passive out of Colorado, and they actually travel around the United States, and they do passive house training for contractors. And we had them in 2023. Yeah, so last year, we had our second training here locally. And what's super interesting is that for some reason, we're having trouble getting people, getting contractors in the Twin Cities to come. But we had two contractors from St. Louis, Missouri come up. You know, it's I know. There seems to be a little bit more interest up north where people are really dealing with difficult conditions up around Lake Superior. So I've talked with Enrico of Emu about perhaps we do training up in Duluth next time, you know. So we have this, the nonprofit, trying to bring training here. Honestly, I think we'd get more contractors if we could really work on financial incentives just from the state, or I think Excel actually has, is giving some money back now to contractors. If they pay for the training and then they do a passive house project within a year, they'll reimburse training. That's just a new thing that I'm not 100% sure if that's implemented yet, but they were looking into doing that. But if we had the state paying for the training, or just automatically contractors could use that training for their continuous education, because that's a whole nother thing, and it's kind of hard for small organizations to keep up with all this stuff. So that's a long, kind of a long-winded way of saying it's there's training out there. We just need to have more incentives and just to balance out the cost of getting the training here, and then also make it easier for contractors to just count that time for their continuous education credits and just have more and more training. And there are a couple of contractors here locally who have done that training, but we need a lot more. They have a great program, actually. So in Colorado, where Emu is, they had the Marshall Fire. And after the Marshall Fire, they ended up having a lot of incentives for building back better. And they had an incremental process. So if you would build all the way to passive house, you would get a lot more money than if you built like a Green Energy Star home. So having a stepped incremental rebate program for doing a lot better, not just slightly better than code, also helps. Because if you can get back, you know, I think that would be like $20,000 because you're getting a passive house certification. Well, that can make the difference in so many projects. And unfortunately, so much of those incentive structures for contractors taking training or for clients to get money back is just based on your local utility company and what's going on at the state. And so the more advocacy, that's part of also getting more architecture firms on board, more contractors on board, more people ask for this stuff, more clients ask for this stuff, then we'll get more incentives, we'll get more support. And it doesn't, you know, for any kind of deep energy retrofit project or new construction project, I could go on about this for a really long time. So
I love it, and I think you should. I think you need to be telling this and sharing this, because it is, it's a lot to know. And even having done Passive House as a studio back in college, there's still so much that even like, what is the difference between an Energy Star home and a Passive House home? And there's all of these things that I feel I didn't even know certain states or certain utility companies would even award any financial benefits for doing these things. And so once you know how to do those things, it's just another value add to your potential client. It's sharing those resources. It's got a lot of potential there, and it's exciting. It's exciting to hear how you're also involved in this nonprofit that is so well aligned with your own purpose. It seems very fulfilling to have those stars align and to be pursuing that. Awesome.
Yeah,
Marcy.
It really is.
Yeah. Where can people hear more and learn more about Yarrow Architecture and what you're doing?
Well, I have my website, yarrowarchitecture.com, Instagram, LinkedIn's coming soon. Probably will be. Yeah, so different social media and Passive House Minnesota, if you just want to know about Passive House in general, and the couple of us that are out there doing this work. We're also supporting each other. Really, when you're doing this kind of work, you don't think about each other as competitors. It's really just collaborators and helping each other out. And that's one thing I love about the community, too, is just sharing resources and just elevating everybody. This is a passion of yours. Just get involved and, yeah, follow me.
Follow and call. Because
follow and call.
Yeah. Too small. Yeah. You're
That's
there
right.
for it. Yeah. That's been my hardest point in marketing, is that call to action.
Yeah. Yeah.
To tell people what to do at the end of it. And it is really helpful for others to hear it, because they don't know what's next. And by just leaving them with something that they can follow, it's like those breadcrumbs. They're still hungry for it. They're going to follow along. And they'll be with you on that journey, which is an exciting place to be and an exciting way to attract those potential collaborators, not just clients, but people who care about this and who share that vision of a legacy where we build better buildings that last longer and use less energy. There's a lot to that.
Oh, you know, I do have one other kind of call to action thing that I'm working on, too. I don't know how this slipped my brain. Too many hats. It's the issue with having your own firm, right? As you well know. So I have Yarrow Architecture, of course. I'm also starting up what's called Yarrow Life, and that's going to be Instagram in particular, and I'll probably do a blog as well. But Instagram will be the first spot where. You know, in between just architecture posts, there's also just posts about how you can act today to just do better in your daily life. So whether it's anything from learning more about an induction stove or like a great cleaning product that you can get without any plastic packaging. You know, all those kind of things that seem like little moves but can add up. It's one of those things I've also been researching and tracking for a while, because that's, I guess, what I do.
And it completes the picture.
Yeah, right?
I really love how this feels like, mm-hmm. just sharing the story of living in the home and feeling the impact of this design, having a Yarrow Life completes that story. So I really love that you're able to share that and to make a meaningful impact, so people see what it means to make these decisions and how it changes your life. I think that's a really strong point.
Yeah, thank you. You know, it's one of those things when I was doing my, I became lead AP back in 2008. And I remember this is back when I was at Smith Group, which is a large company. We're doing workplace interiors and things like that. But there was a lead project that actually ended up not passing its indoor air quality because the facilities people ended up using cleaners that contained VOCs and didn't use, I guess, what they're necessarily supposed to use. So that put a lot of things in the air, and they had to kind of flush it out and go back and do it again, do the process again. And it wasn't my project, so I'm kind of skimming over details because I just heard, you know, the big picture. But it does speak to, you know, just also being mindful of those things that you're bringing into a home or a business. And there's plenty of good product out there that, and it doesn't have to cost a lot. That actually is my other criteria. Like this stuff, you know, it's like going back to the vinegar and the baking soda, but there's products out there if you don't want to mix your own stuff. Like we don't have to go that far. If you want to, that's great. You know, but if you are a busy person and want to buy a spray bottle, well, here's what you can buy that's not going to, you know, be noxious when you're cleaning your bathroom, for instance, or, you know, something that a janitor is dealing with every single time they're on the job. So these kind of decisions are actually important, too.
Absolutely. I love that. And what a way to preserve the buildings and continue to enjoy them. Awesome. Well, thank you, Marcy. It's so good to have you on. I really appreciate you being here for the Flying Solo podcast. And as you're taking flight with your own business, this is so exciting to capture some of your thoughts and your intentions at this point. And hopefully we can follow up and hear more on how things are going later on.
I'd love to. Thank you for asking me. I really enjoyed it.
Awesome.
Just like a chickadee, Marcy is committed to staying and serving this region. She has stationed herself in this passive house world, and it is how she's researching, it's how she's networking, it's where she's putting her volunteer time, and it's where she can share how she is applying these passive house principles in decisions that she makes for her own life. Now, here are three takeaways that would help you build a chickadee practice. First, no project is too small. Like a chickadee gathering one seed at a time and storing it for the winter, Marcy believes in the power of small efforts that make a big difference. She's building a practice where she can show up for the quick questions, the sticky situations, and the bite-sized projects that improve someone's daily life. Whether it's a phased retrofit, or a tricky detail, or a thoughtful system shared with another architect or contractor, that helps apply the principles of passive house. She sees value in it all. Her work is about planting seeds of knowledge, of empowerment, and of change. Second, she has architecture that supports well-being. Marcy's projects are not grabbing headlines. They're not the picture-perfect image on the cover of a magazine, but they quietly transform the lives of the people she serves. Through better air quality, natural daylighting, energy efficiency, and non-toxic materials, she's helping people feel better in their homes. Her focus on passive house principles isn't about luxury. It's about creating healthy, functional environments that energize and restore its inhabitants. It's architecture that breathes with you, supports your rhythm, and builds resilience from the inside out. And our final point is that this helps people live differently. Marcy's work extends beyond the drawings and the construction. Through her new platform, Yarrow Life, she can have conversations about lifestyle and life decisions. She's not just designing spaces, she's inviting people to think differently about how they live, what they cook with, how they clean, and what they set the thermostat at. Like a chickadee, her impact is steady, if unflashy, but it adds up. These small decisions, these everyday choices, build up over time into healthier lives and stronger communities. And in this way, as a chickadee, Marcy is quietly building a life and a practice with intention. This episode was brought to you in collaboration with Entree Architect, which is a fantastic community for finding like-minded entrepreneurs who are there to support you in your business journey. Please subscribe, share, and join the Flying Solo Movement community. We are just taking flight. Please join this journey for ongoing inspiration, support, and resources. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Katie Kangas. My hope is to encourage aspiring entrepreneurs and architects to soar to new heights and embrace the freedom of flying solo.